Afghanistan also faces a renewed threat from al-Qaeda. U.S.-led forces booted the group out of the country in 2001, but al-Qaeda training compounds have sprung up across the border in Pakistan. Up to 2,000 militants now train there. That's according to a former CIA officer quoted in today's New York Times. The Times article also says that Washington turf battles and the diversion of resources to Iraq have enabled al-Qaeda's resurgence. David Rode co-wrote the story along with Mark Mazzetti. Mr. Rode is in New York. Now, you've done quite an extensive investigation into the divisions within the Bush administration over just how the U.S. would combat al-Qaeda in Pakistan. Based on your reporting, why doesn't the White House seem to have a coherent policy in the region?
There's been deep debate about whether the U.S. should be sending in more ground troops into Pakistan. From one side, from the other side, there's a sense that the government of Pakistani President Pervez Musharraf couldn't be pushed too far on this issue. The bottom line, though, and this is the sort of main critique we heard from most current and former officials, is that the U.S. has had no clear strategy since 2002 to get control of this very strategic area that's now turned into a much larger problem.
And what happened in 2002 that kind of made the policy no longer focused?
What we heard from current and former officials was a large issue was, frankly, the invasion of Iraq. There were CIA operatives that were sent to Iraq. There were Predator drones that can be used for surveillance and missile strikes that were sent to Iraq. And most importantly, high-level attention, which one former official said is the most valuable quantity in Washington. High-level attention was just absorbed by Iraq as the violence worsened there.
And when you say high-level attention, you're talking about at the White House, the CIA, and the Pentagon. What are the details of the type of infighting and disagreements that had been taking place around Pakistan?
There are at least two examples we found of raids that were planned by special operations troops based in Afghanistan. There were raids where they would leave Afghanistan and go into Pakistan to hopefully snatch top aides to Osama bin Laden. Those raids were stopped. One was stopped by Donald Rumsfeld, the former defense secretary. He felt the raid, which I think had about 100 or more soldiers on it, had been gotten too large. There are also questions about the quality of intelligence. A second raid, Mr. Rumsfeld approved, and this was in 2006. Within days of his approval, he was forced out of the Defense Department after the November 2006 elections.
For the officials in the White House and the CIA and the Pentagon, I mean, for those who want to do more in Pakistan, to get more ground troops over there to fight in these areas, there are real restrictions on what can actually be done. I mean, Pakistan is a sovereign country after all.
Absolutely. And one of the results of the invasions of Afghanistan and Iraq by the United States is that many Pakistanis are now convinced that any American troops inside Pakistan would be a prelude to an American occupation of Pakistan. They think they are next on the list. So at this point, it's much more difficult to have Americans on the ground in Pakistan than it might have been in 2001.
So in the waning days of the Bush White House, what steps do you think could still be taken now to develop a coherent policy to fight al-Qaeda in Pakistan?
There is a sense, we had one White House official tell us, that we know how to do this now, that the United States has learned from Iraq and Afghanistan, and they know that a comprehensive counterinsurgency strategy can work. The problem is the U.S. can't do that in Pakistan because of the fears of a U.S. invasion, and the Pakistani army doesn't appear able to do it either. So in essence, there are very, very few options left for the administration and a real sense, as one former official put it, that the U.S. has sort of drifted into a very difficult situation now.
New York Times correspondent David Rode speaking with us from New York. Thank you very much.
Thank you.